Hi there, and welcome to the Living with SMA podcast. We're here to have conversations about living with spinal muscular atrophy. Throughout this podcast, we will be covering lots of different topics, from preparing for university, getting the most from your personal budget, sex and relationships, and lots more. So we invite different hosts from across the SMA community to come together here. We want to answer your questions, provide you with useful tips and recommendations, and also share personal stories. So please do reach out and connect with us here at the charity SMA UK. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find the podcast useful.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Living with SMA podcast. Today's episode is all about siblings. I'll be chatting to my brother Chris, and we'll be talking about our relationship growing up to where I'm at now. I'm 21 years old, and Chris, my older brother, is 24.
Yep. Hi guys. So I'm Chris. I have the absolute pleasure, and I say that with no irony at all, of being Alex's brother. So Alex, I've got a question for you, really. What was, because obviously I've sort of been through this all in my head, not on my own, but I've had my own feelings with it. What, as my brother, I guess growing up, what was it like for you? What was the main things? What stands out?
To be honest, I couldn't really pinpoint one thing in particular, but I remember we were always very close. And the thing is, in regards to your condition, I was always quite oblivious. So it didn't really hit me that there was something was happening until I was quite old. I know whenever we'd like go somewhere and you'd always be a bit slow. I was a bit oblivious where it never really pegged me that, hang on, my brother's got something wrong with him. But then carrying on with that, there was never, because the nature of the condition is like it's a regressive one, there's never really been a moment where it's just hit me like a ton of bricks. It's always been quite incremental. So, anything that I've had to do in regards to like making sure you're okay has never been too overwhelming, really.
Yeah. No, I hear that. It's interesting to hear you say that there wasn't like a moment where it just kind of hit you like a ton of bricks that something was wrong. I remember, obviously, I use a wheelchair now, but I remember going to some of those, we went to sporting events and it took me a long time to start walking around. But it's interesting because I can sort of pinpoint timelines where, I think 14-year-old was when I was at my physical peak, and I could sort of pinpoint things dropping that. Like, I reckon I was, I've probably been 23, so last year I started using a wheelchair full time. But it's interesting to hear you say there wasn't anything that you didn't ever really stop and think. Is that right?
Not necessarily. What I'm trying to say is that there wasn't really one moment where this is from my own perception, so this may be wrong, but there was never really one moment where it just really dawned on me, oh my god, it's getting the situation getting a lot worse. It was always little by little, so in that regard it was always a lot more manageable. Always easier to cope with in a way.
No, I hear that. It's interesting because it's like we were out and about enough growing up. Like, we were very active, we played a lot of cricket, went swimming, used to do karate. So again, it's interesting to hear you say that from that point of view. Is there not even like one event that stands out, like when something bad happened or when something good happened?
Not really, because pretty much all my life since I was very young, it's something I've lived with, and So as such, I can't really, I'm too young to re- to remember the actual moment that I realized, hang on, Chris has a condition which obviously limits his mobility. So, you know, it's just always something I've kind of accepted, you know, it's, you know, just part of life and, you know, you get on with it.
Okay. Yeah. So what then, what was your favorite moment growing up? What's your favorite moment of me?
Favorite
I am wonderful.
No, that's an understatement.
God bless you.
Well, it's got to be winning the national championship, hasn't it?
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. Yeah, I remember. Do you want to talk about that? Do you want me to talk about that season? That what happened?
I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Well, basically, just for everyone listening, it was Alex plays flag football, which is a non-contact version of American football. And I, in 2017, I was his coach. We won the youth national championship. We had a perfect season. And Alex was the national final MVP. You can see the smile appear on his face when we talk about that. What I remember from that season, obviously there was the moment when we won, and there was basically this trophy presentation was up like a grassy bank. It wasn't like stairs, but it was like there was like the sports field were down here, and then there'll be like just a straight bank, and then to get to the thing. And then I remember me and you, obviously, like you helping me up the thing, which is it was sick because I helped you play better. I think you'd agree with that, wouldn't you, Alex? Oh, bless. But yeah, it was just a reminder. You know, there are struggles, but there are so many good times. So many, and that was one of the best ones. Was it weird for you having your brother coach, or you know, trying to coming into a new environment with kids who are about, you know, 15, 16, and some of them asking, you know, why does Chris walk like that? Did they ask? I don't know.
No, I mean, to be honest, I don't really have any recollections of that, because I'm pretty sure like they would have seen you, you know, obviously quite a few players had already seen you like at game day, so they probably would have been understanding. But in regards to your question, how did it feel, Amoeba? To be honest, I didn't mind, because like when you know, obviously the head coach said, "Oh, Chris is the new defensive coach," I was, you know, I knew how much you knew about the sport. I was like, "Yes, he's a really good coach. This is going to be great," you know. So yeah. Just less support, you know, just more excitement. But this is going to go really well, and as it turned out, it did
go really well. We did have some very good times. I had some good times coaching you, watching the achievement, you know, you made, helping where I could along the way. You know, meeting new friends. I see. Actually, just while we're on the subject of the sort of sport and recreation, you've got the whose cup have you got today? You've been drinking from.
Matt Proctor
from the finest rugby team in all the land, the Northampton Saints. But we've had some. We like going and watching our sport, don't we?
Of course.
I think what is it? Cricket, rugby, American football. There any real others? Not big on conventional football.
No football as far as I can remember. It's mostly cricket and, until the pandemic, rugby.
Yeah, I remember you coming into your own with one of them. I remember there were a few times when you basically carried me down a flight of stairs. Am I heavy? Does it hurt when you carry me?
Not as heavy as some of the weights I lift at the gym, but
that's good. That's good.
It's good exercise.
It's good exercise. Right, that's good. It was a very sensible answer as well. Bear in mind, this is being recorded. And mum and dad are going to listen to it, so you can't say anything mean about me. You know, but yeah, I remember, you know, we used to, do you remember the first time we went to Wembley, we sat at the very top of the stadium. You imagine doing that now. But we tend to sit in like access capacity seats, and you know, it's kind of interesting to hear your perspective, because, you know, I'm sure we're not the only, you know, I'm not the only disabled person, you're not the only you know, care, well, you act as my carer when you go in those roles. Is there somewhere where for, you know, not just sport, but all recreational activities, all leisure activities, that you think, you know, organizations from a carer's point of view, that you think, you know, pubs, stadiums, you know, places like that, is there an area you think they could do more?
I'm not sure what you think, Barris, but I think the main thing, like you cited when going to Wembley to watch the NFL as an example, that, you know, I think it's more a case of, you know, getting the word out there that if you are, like I say, a wheelchair user and you want to, you know, come here, that there is ample facilities. Like, for example, when we go to watch the rugby, like all the stadiums we've been to, there, you know, there's been more than enough space for us to sit. So you know, I think it's just like, you know, telling people that, you know, this, it is there.
Yeah, I think also from my point of view, the channels to go through, like, you know, it's. And I think with what's happened to the leisure industry with COVID, you know, people having to book up and make appointments, I think people are now starting to realise some of these channels exist when they probably didn't before. So I definitely agree with you that it's about promotion. So what do you reckon is the top speed that you could push my wheelchair at?
Top speed.
Yeah.
So talk about one of the manual ones.
The manual ones, yeah.
Of course. Oh God, I have no idea.
Well, I'll give you a little reference, okay? The average human walks about 3 miles an hour.
Walks
at about 3 miles an hour. That is a reference.
Okay. Well, I mean, if, assuming you're in it, my top speed.
Yeah, I would be in it, Alex. You're not taking my wheelchairs away from me and seeing how fast you can run them up the road. I would be in the wheelchair, yes. Please do not try this at home for anyone listening.
Top speed, maybe 5 or 6.
5 or 6 miles an hour.
That's a guess. You know, I'm not really saying it with any, you know, any resemblance to.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, because you've had a good go, haven't you? I remember one time we were we went up somewhere for a night, and we watched the Saints game. The Saints were playing Worcester. Yeah, it was Worcester, wasn't it? And they won, and we were going wild. And then you kind of did a turn. Do you remember that? Do you remember you did like a turn and the front wheel snapped off?
Well, I wouldn't attribute that to me trying to imitate Usain Bolt. I think.
No.
I tried to do a 360 turn on a 5p coin. You know.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, obviously everything went fine after that. The wheelchair was mended, and no towelers were harmed as a result of this. But yeah, I remember. It got me thinking, are there times when, you know, you'll be sort of, you know, helping me push my wheelchair, or, you know, you'll be looking out for me, that you really have to think on your feet?
Not really. Well, I'm just normally like when, let's say I'm pushing you through a, you know, busy area, and whenever that happens, you know, my natural instinct is, you know, just like, go cautiously, you know.
Yeah. What do you mean, like a busy area? Do you mean like a corridor that's like full of people?
Yeah. Well, it's just like anywhere where there's people. So, like, for example, like if I'm pushing you through on a night out, or, you know, if we're in a shopping centre, you know, scenarios like that.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. One thing that I've heard a lot of people talk about, that I don't think we really have that much experience of, is having to plan journeys too far in advance. Like there are, of course, provisions we need to make. And I know we talked earlier about, you know, like sports stadia and you know, hospitality restaurants like that, where you have to say, you know, is it wheelchair accessible? But we don't usually do that. We're quite capable of getting a plan and forming it within 10 minutes and then seeing where we execute it.
I mean, you know, to be honest, whenever we go and do something together, you're normally the one doing the planning, and you normally have like a good knowledge of where you're going. So,
yeah. So, is it fair to say then, bear in mind that you've just said that I am the brains and you're the brawn of this outfit?
I'm pretty sure that's what we've been saying forever. You
know? Yes. Yeah, but I just wanted it on record so that everyone can. No, you're right. You're right, but I did want that on record so everyone can hear it.
That is generally how things pan out. You plan everything, work out where we're going to go, what time, and I'm the one who, you know, actually pushed you there. So yeah, I've got no shame in saying that. You know, on record.
We'll find a nicer way of putting that. I'm the general. You're the first commander.
First commander, yeah, I'll take that.
First commander, Alex Towler. I mean, my next order as general will be, please have a shave. Please, please have a shave. Don't do it. You don't need to take it all off. You just need to take like little bits of it off. Like just trim it a little bit. But you need to take the moustache off.
The same in the Premiership.
Okay. That's fine. So what then would you say is the biggest challenge in living with someone with SMA?
I'm not sure you can call this a challenge, but you know, there are just loads of little things, you know, I've got to make sure, you know, I set up for you. So let's say we're going on a walk. I've got to make sure that I get your shoes, get your phone, sort the ramp out to get outside, etc. You know, there are loads of little things like that, but I wouldn't really describe it as a challenge. It's just, you know, part of what I'm doing yet. But
I suppose it's, for you, it's probably become so like commonplace doing it, like just setting my ramp out. You know, grabbing me shoes, or you know, if something needs sorting, realistically there are many physical tasks along the way, like opening the door, you kind of just do them, don't you? Or I guess you do that without thinking now.
As I say, it's just like part of it. It's not natural, you know. It's become natural. I don't you know, and that's part of the reason why I don't really consider it a challenge. And also, as I say, it's only a learn to do. There's nothing, you know, that I find really, really difficult, you know, that I have to cope with. It's just
I see where you're coming from. So what then advice would you give to people? Is there any special tips that you can pass on? I mean, not everyone can have a brother as wonderful as you do, I'll grant you that, but any little pearls of wisdom that you can pass on?
If I can't really try and boil it down to one, you know, simple thing, it's quite hard. But I guess all I can really say is, you know, it's a lot easier if, you know, if you don't see it as a challenge. If you, you know, just kind of accept that there will be some things you have to do differently. But you know, it's nothing that be tremendously difficult. It's all stuff that's manageable.
Yeah, I do hear what you're saying. I do have a lot of admiration for the time you take, you know, and it's why I'm more than happy to excuse you from ever paying for a drink, because you do the pushing. This is the rule we have, isn't it? You do the pushing and I do the paying. Is that fair?
No way. Hey? No way.
It is your wage. It is your wage. You push me to the restaurant or to the pub or to the sports game, and I will pay for the ticket, the drink, and everything, because I'm paying Alex a salary. So I'm glad that we have now have this on recording, that you do this to make a wage.
I mean, you can link that. You link what we just said back to the advice. Try and get a quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo. Okay, so that's the main takeaway from the millions of listeners that are going to be listening to this. The main takeaway is get a quid pro quo
if you can.
If you can, but you'd do it anyway, wouldn't you?
Of course. There you go. I don't do it for all the rewards you just mentioned. I do it for you are a wonderful brother, and I enjoy spending time with you.
You're a good brother too. You are a very good brother. You're very strong. Very strong. I do. It is the source of amazement to me, some of the physical lifting challenges you've done. Do you remember we went to Lord's to watch a cricket match, and you for those of you that have not sat in the able-bodied section at Lord's, the steps are really steep, aren't they? They're like, if a normal step is about that much, then they're like double that, they're like that much. And you literally just did a little bear hug, and you lifted me right up from my legs and just carried me up the flight of stairs. Or we went to... when we went to Gillette Stadium and you lifted me over a row of seats, like clean. My feet didn't even slam against the seats. You lifted me right over a row of seats. That must have been cool. Like, you must have felt good doing that.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I immediately thought of was like whenever we went to watch Northants play cricket, you know, if we wanted to sit up a couple of rows, I'd always just, pick you up and take you up a couple of rows. But I always thought, I kind of had to do it because, it's not really any other choice, because obviously, my dad's not going to lift you up. I'm not going to lift you up. It's,
we don't know this. I mean, we could let them try. I don't think we should let them try, though. I think we've got a good agreement.
That's a decision you have to make, Chris.
It's I think, and this is for my safety now, I think I am much happier with you doing all the heavy lifting. I think I'm much happier with you doing the majority of the physical tasks. It's been good. It's been interesting hearing like some of your perspectives on some of the things like that have just become so that commonplace, like just getting my ramp out, as you said. You mentioned at the very start, like, which was really interesting to me, like there never was this sudden realization. You can't like pinpoint a moment or things like that. It's really interesting to me to hear that.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I think I said before, I probably attribute that to the fact I was quite, it wasn't something I really thought about that much. It was just, there's nothing, obviously, we're the only brother sibling we have, there's nothing I can really compare it to. It is what it is, and it's how it went down.
Yeah, and I think that's if that's something I'd say, is that, it kind of is what it is. It doesn't really need to, and this is whether you have a carer or not, it doesn't really need to play God over your life. It's problem solving. You have to look at what resources you have at your disposal. And yes, I'm lucky, I have Alex. You're very strong. You do as you're told, which is a very good trait. It's a very, very good trait, trust me. But there are always ways of conquering barriers. You have to work out what do you enjoy doing, what do you want to do, and then work out what are your obstacles, and then what resource, how you solve that, and then what resources that are going to help you solve that. And I think sort of the things we do, like we're season ticket holders with Northants Cricket and Northants Rugby, once you do them a couple of times, you gain a lot of confidence in the fact that you can do it. Is that the same for you? Like when the first time you were able to pick me up from the floor, or you know, lift my wheelchair over a flight of stairs, did that give you confidence that I can do this any other time?
Yes, and in particular, picking you up. So I remember the exact moment I picked you up the first time, because like there were a few times before where I tried but couldn't, and then I'm pretty sure we were at, I think it was cricket nets, and you'd fallen over, and I think I'd gone to like put my bags in the car, and then I got out, saw you on the floor, so I just went along, and then
And by falling over, you mean diving to take an excellent catch, don't you? There is a hint here. Look at the screen. There's a hint going on.
You know, well, maybe I don't always do as I'm told. But, but truth be told, I wasn't looking, so I can't tell. But yeah, I remember quite a few times I've tried before that day and I'd failed. But like when, just me and you, and it's just like I picked you up the first time, and like we both looked at each other quite amazed, like, oh my god, you know.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Thought like, yeah, this is going to come in handy.
Well, I remember that. It was at Northampton Saints Cricket Club, and we got because I could drive then, couldn't I? I'd not long had my license, and we got in the car. We just looked at each other. We went, yeah, yes, this is good. Yeah, that was good.
I think I was more amazed, like, oh my god, I finally did it. It's like I finally do something, like, etc. It's like, oh my god, you know.
Good. I'm glad. It was a good moment. About up for our time today. If you do have any questions you would like to ask myself or Alex after listening to this podcast, please get in contact with us via SMA UK. The charity is on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and the website is sma.org.uk. If you can make contact via the email address if you'd prefer to do so, that's connections@sma.uk. Thank you very much for listening, Alex. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, as it always is. And yeah, I'll see you tomorrow.
Likewise. Take care, Chris.
You've been listening to the Living with SMA podcast. We hope you can join us again next time, but in the meantime, please don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can find out more on our website at smauk.org.uk.